Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah! Welcome to another installment of the Left of Lansing podcast. I'm Pat Johnston, and I'd just like to say a quick thank you to Jessica, our podcast voice, for doing a phenomenal job. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook. And don't forget about the blog, which is leftoflansing.com. It's another week where I can say that Democrats, especially here in Michigan, continue to advocate for and pass laws that are designed to help Michiganders. It's another week where Democrats continue to offer serious leadership, while Republicans serve up frivolous red meat nonsense that won't help you and I whatsoever. Just before I got started recording this week's podcast, I stumbled upon this tweet by Nick Smith of Gongmer News Service, and here I'll read it for you, and I quote, "Senate Republicans are introducing a bill package repealing licensing requirements for carrying concealed firearms, also known as constitutional carry law. Similar packages have failed to see much movement in recent sessions, including under GOP control of the legislature." I mean, at a time when we have mass shootings every day in this country, where we've had kids killed at Michigan State University and Oxford High School, where two moms got into an argument at a Flint charter school this week and one of the moms pulled out a gun and shot the other mom, leaving her in critical condition. After all of this that's happening, this is the time that Senate Republicans have decided to bring up a bill repealing licensing requirements for carrying concealed firearms. I mean, that's where the Republican Party is. That's their brilliant idea to solving the gun violence epidemic. I mean, we all need licenses to drive cars, but Republicans say we don't need licenses to carry concealed firearms. You see, this is the best that the Michigan Republican Party has to offer on this issue. This is the best. This is all they've got. Insanity. I mean, that's pure insanity. This is one of the many reasons why Republicans lost the majority, but now they're doubling down on these ideas that sound more like they're coming from those crazy right-wing online comment sections than real solutions. Coming up in just a few, I'll be talking with Democratic State Representative Kelly Breen about the work that Democrats have performed in passing some gun safety reforms, including red flag laws, which Representative Breen played a key role in passing. See, she's about being a true leader, a competent leader who views government as a tool to help people and to help the state strive to become better in the future. That's what Democrats are offering right now for Michiganders. For example, Michigan Democrats are working on an education budget, and it rings of just common sense. You see, flooding tax incentives to corporations in the state isn't exactly the best way to help the state strive. And I'll have more on that in a few weeks when we talk with business writer for Michigan Advance, Rick Haglund. But another more productive and cost-effective way of not only keeping younger residents here, but also as a way to attract businesses here, is to create a talented and educated workforce. It just makes sense if we help educate people for jobs of the future. Then companies producing those jobs of the future will want to do business right here. And that's why, even though we're still in the early stages, that's why it's really gratifying to see Michigan Senate Democrats seriously tackling the issue of improving education. A Senate subcommittee reported out an education budget of bills last week that gives schools $9,700 in per-pupil funding, another $500 million that would go towards special education needs, and according to Mirrors News, it would also provide another $7.3 million being set aside to pay the outstanding debt on the shuttered school district in Inkster, where the people there are paying taxes with interest on a district that no longer exists. I know that's something that Democratic State Representative Dylan Wagella is fighting for. And there's more. There's also an increase in pay for teachers, which is badly needed since many teachers left after feeling underappreciated, underfunded, and underpaid. Michigan Advance reporter Allison Donahue reported late last year about the precipitous teacher loss in the state, and she wrote, "The Michigan Education Association surveyed 2,600 educators statewide last school year and found that one in five teachers expected to leave education for another career within 3 years, an increase of 9% since August. Another 14% reported they plan to retire. Michigan is not alone in trying to fill these empty classrooms filled with students. In March, the National Center for Education Statistics estimated 44% of public schools reported teaching vacancies at the start of this year, with more than half of those vacancies due to resignations." Again, that's a report by Allison Donahue of the Michigan Advance, and I'll post that on leftoflansing.com. Now, that same article talks about one of the main reasons why teachers are leaving the profession. Teachers are afraid to teach due to the rabid right-wing groups who are designed and determined to erase history or social viewpoints from their kids. The article tells a story about how a Lakewood Public Schools middle school teacher left his job suddenly after realizing the district was not supporting him for having a rainbow flag behind his desk. The teacher was just trying to show support for his LGBTQ+ students, and he got vilified for it just because he showed some compassion. You know, like Jesus did. Also, if I didn't know better, I'd be willing to say that right-wing forces are hoping that teachers do leave their jobs, because I can't think of a better way to destroy the public school system, right? Plus, the package of bills includes universal free lunch and breakfast. Now, see, that would be a relief to many parents out there who wouldn't have to worry about preparing lunch for their kids. And if parents want to still make lunch or breakfast for their kids, they can still do that. They're not making a law against that. I mean, this is smart policy. It's ensuring that kids are not hungry and will be able to learn and comprehend their lessons. But I know, there are those on the right wing who'll shout out, "There's no such thing as a free lunch," while Republicans accept bribes from lobbyists. Just ask former Republican House Speaker Rick Johnson about that. Again, this K-12 education package is in the early stages, but from what I am reading right now, it all makes some real common sense. Investing in our kids and investing in our educators kind of seems like a smart way to address our future. It seems like a serious way to address our future. And it's that seriousness that Michigan Democrats are bringing to the table. Now, on the other side, it's utter ridiculousness. A recent CBS poll just showed all of us what's on the minds of Republicans heading into 2024. Are you ready to hear their top concerns? And I'm telling you, this is not a joke. I'm not making it up, okay? According to the poll, 85% of likely GOP voters said that they will back a presidential candidate who will challenge woke ideas. 85%. That's what's on the top of their minds right now. They don't know what woke is, but they just know they don't like it. 66% said that they will back a candidate who's against any kind of gun safety legislation, which is why the Michigan Republican senators unveiled that ludicrous bill that will erase licensing requirements for concealed guns. But wait, there's more. 61% of voters said that they would back a candidate who still believes that Trump won in 2020. And here's my favorite part, 57% of GOP voters said that they will support anyone who makes liberals mad. And that's the ballgame right there, everyone. These people are trained through propaganda to back someone simply over the unlimited joy that they will get from upsetting liberals. It's why Tucker Carlson was the big draw on Fox News before being canned. It's why Trump barely lost any supporters on his side. And it's why the Michigan Republican Party leader is someone who's an election denier, who believes that COVID was fake, and who strongly believes that demonic possession is real. I mean, how can you take that side seriously? And before I forget, here's a little taste of the vile rhetoric that you will hear on Fox News. This is Tucker wannabe Jesse Waters this week.
"I saw on the way into work a illegal immigration family digging through the trash looking for recyclables.
How did you know they were illegal?
You can tell. And
Jesse.
I can tell. I'm a city guy."
You see, he's not presenting a fact. He just could tell that people were undocumented because he's such an upstanding, rich, white guy. I mean, that's why it's great how Michigan Democrats are providing a stark contrast to the ridiculousness that is happening on the other side. Democrats here are governing in a serious and productive way. They've repealed Right to Work for Less. They've passed prevailing wage to help people and cities improve. They put more money in people's pockets by increasing the earned income tax, ending the Republican retirement tax, proposing education budgets that'll create a smarter workforce for the future, introducing bills to update the hate crime law to include sexual orientation and gender identity and expression, plus other things, reforming statute of limitations laws, laws establishing a statewide inspection of our aging septic wastewater system, which helps protect the Great Lakes. That's the kind of seriousness that I'm talking about, because you see, clean water is important to the state, and it's Democrats who are working to keep our Great Lakes clean from Erie all the way up to the lake that they call Gitche-Gumee. That's right, rest in peace, Gordon Lightfoot. One of these serious Democrats helping make the state a better place for all is State Representative Kelly Breen, and she's coming right up. You're listening to LOL.
You're listening to Left of Lansing. If the podcast isn't enough and you are in need of more Pat, follow him on Twitter and like him on Facebook. Also, don't forget, you can read more of his thoughts and hear an archive of past episodes on leftoflansing.com.
Don't forget, you can also follow me on Instagram. That's right, I'm finally on the gram. Just search for Left of Lansing and you'll find me very easily there. And you can also follow my guest on the gram, Twitter, and elsewhere. It's Democratic State Representative Kelly Breen from the 21st House District, which comprises of Novi, Walled Lake, South Lyon, and parts of Northville. She won her first race for the State House back in 2020, won re-election in the newly drawn 21st District in 2022, and she's also the chair of the Judiciary Committee in the House. State Representative Breen, thank you so very much for being on this week. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. I do have to correct you on one tiny portion of the description. I no longer have Walled Lake in my district. I am part of the school district, but not the actual city.
Oh, okay. Novi, South Lyon.
All the rest of it's, well, I have Lyon Township. And
all right.
A single precinct in the city of Farmington.
Oh.
The districts are very interesting, for sure.
Were you?
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, well, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot then. Were you okay with the redistricting? How that
perfectly
all went about?
Fine. I made a lot of great friends out in South Lyon. I know Jason Morgan's going to take care of them. Lyon Township was divvied up three different ways. I get along very well with my Republican colleague, Ann Ballin, who has taken over three precincts in Novi, the city of Walled Lake, part of Lyon Township. And I share Farmington Hills with Samantha Steckloff and Jason Hoskins. But I love the new district. I still have almost all of Novi and still the Oakland County part of Northville, which is where I'm from. So I'm pretty happy.
Well, I just want to get into this. Democrats gained control of the trifecta of state government for the first time in 40 years in these past midterms. And one area, I think, where Democrats made a lot of news and showed the country that elections, you know, have consequences is how quickly your party was able to pass gun safety laws right after the tragic shooting on MSU's campus a couple of months ago. And it was such a change, I'd say a welcome change, since Republicans did nothing when they were in power after the Oxford shooting. All the bills that you passed, expanding background checks, safe storage, and extreme risk protection order laws or red flag laws, passed your committee first, I believe, before the legislature passed them and sent them to Governor Whitmer for her signature. Did you have a good feeling that Democrats could stick together to get these bills finished?
That whole endeavor was honestly the hardest lift I think I've ever done, and hopefully the hardest lift I'll ever have to do. But we pulled off something that I think is quite miraculous. In the process of getting those three packages through, especially ERPO or Red Flag, we actually earned the support of three of the major law enforcement organizations. And I was very, very grateful for law enforcement's input between them and the judges, who are the two entities that are going to be most involved with making sure that these are done right, that they are effective and fair, and that they save lives. Making sure that they were on board and listening to the logistical and procedural concerns that they had really made a huge difference. It made a huge, huge difference. And I'm confident that although these laws unfortunately won't go into effect for almost a year, that when they do come into effect, that we will save lives. I did not think it would be that hard. but we made it happen.
It's going to take a while for these bills to go into effect because there was zero Republican support for immediate effect, right?
That's true. And I hope that my friends across the aisle are paying attention to the fact that the chiefs of police, the Fraternal Order of Police, and the Sheriff's Association are all on board with these packages. Well, at least for ERPO. And I know that some of them supported various other bills within the other two packages, but I was most intimately involved with ERPO. And I hope that they're paying attention to that because this is what the people of Michigan want. This is what they voted for. These bills were polling at insanely high numbers across the entire state. Yes, it's a welcome relief, but just for clarity here, this should have been done a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was a senior at Michigan State living on Beale Street, and I came home from class and I found all my roommates watching the TV as a kid was dangling from the window of Columbine High School. And that was a long time ago. Something should have been done before then. And mass shootings, they take up a lot of media attention, but the bulk of gun deaths are suicides.
Yeah.
There are so many different ways to make an impact and decrease and mitigate gun violence. And these three packages are aimed to help that in so many different ways. And I'm very relieved that we were able to get them across. And I expect the governor's going to be signing the final package sometime soon.
You make it sound like it has been a long time, and really has been, because I was a senior at Central Michigan when Columbine happened, thinking that, well, this country will never allow these things to happen again. That was just the start, really. And it just keeps happening over and over and over. That's why I was, and I think many voters out there, especially who put Democrats in charge, this is the change they wanted, and you guys were able to deliver.
Absolutely. We've been moving very, very fast. Although for some people it might not be fast enough. You know, we have a deliberative committee process. We talk to experts. We have to review the bills with different organizations. And again, to make sure that these are effective and appropriately enforced, getting the input from law enforcement and the judges was absolutely essential. It was a pleasure working with, you know, Senator McMorrow and Senator Chang, Rosemary Bayer, and all my colleagues in the House. Everybody has different ideas on how to do things, but we have to talk to the people that are going to be actually doing the work too. Once we got them on board, I'm just so ecstatic that we're going to be able to save some lives.
You brought up already a couple of times how you had conversations and you talked with and tried to figure out some solutions with law enforcement, with judges on these laws, especially the ERPO law. Is that why it's frustrating? Because you did all that work and that you did talk with law enforcement that Republicans didn't want to help?
It's not that they want to help. And I started every judiciary hearing by saying the same thing, because I think it is absolutely bears worth repeating. Nobody wants to lose a loved one to violence. Absolutely nobody does. And these discussions turn so volatile and political so quickly. And I think we lose sight of the fact that we're all decent human beings and nobody wants somebody else to die. So if we start from that one simple place, and it's a low bar when you think about it. Hi, I don't want people to die. Let's just start with that assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said in a speech that I gave on the floor, I'm so glad to hear about the support that my Republican colleagues want to give to mental health, because we frankly have not been doing enough. And I'm going to hold them to it. We do need better health in this state, in this country as a whole, even. I'm glad that they're finally, that they're on board with it. I'm not going to say finally, because a lot of them have been on board. But again, when we move forward with our budget, and I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of proposals and support for mental health, that if they want to really address gun violence through mental health, because it is about mental health, it is about the Constitution, it is about balancing due process concerns, that we all get on the same page when it comes to making sure that people get the help they need.
We're speaking with State Representative Kelly Breen from the 21st District here on Left of Lansing. One more question on this topic, then we'll move on. I'm certain that you've seen what that sheriff in Livingston County, Mike Murphy, said, that he will not enforce the red flag laws. This is just my take. You can have a different one, but aren't the officials in a county like that, or other county sheriffs who refuse to want to uphold those new laws once they go into effect, won't they be holding themselves open to lawsuits if it's proven that an ERPO order could have prevented a shooting, an injury, or a death?
You know, elections have consequences. And I have relayed some of my concerns to former Livingston County Sheriff Bob Bizzat, who's my colleague in the House. I think the world of Rep. Bizzat. And I said, listen, if Sheriff Murphy wants to sit down and talk, I'm happy to do that. I want to be able to alleviate these concerns. And when I listened to what Sheriff Murphy had to say, I reinforced this point. If it's about mental health, fine. It's about mental health. But I am sure nobody wants the death of somebody on their hands because they refuse to carry out a court order. There are a multitude of safeguards in place to ensure that due process concerns are addressed. We've built multiple ways within the ERPO law to make sure that this is only going to happen to people who are on the verge of committing something terrible, whether to themselves or others. So if Sheriff Murphy is hearing this, please reach out. Let's sit down and talk about it, because they say that they're a constitutional county. Guess what? We're all constitutional counties. This is a constitutional state. We all need to follow the Constitution, and we all need to uphold the various oaths of office that we have taken. Nothing in these bills is going to violate somebody's constitutional right. And we need to balance this. We absolutely need to balance this. If somebody is on the verge of committing suicide, then yes, I want them to give up their guns. Let's get them the help they need. I have lost too many friends and family to suicide, and I don't want that to happen to anybody else. And I don't think anybody wants that to happen. I think a lot of it is posturing, and some of it is just speaking from a place of not understanding how the bills will work. So let's talk about it, and let's work through those concerns so that we can make sure that these laws are followed and done so appropriately and effectively.
We talked about mental health here. That is obviously one aspect, but I just feel like I always hear Republicans say, you know, there's got to be more done for mental health. They always bring that up, but I really don't see a whole lot of movement. They had 8 years to do it when they had complete control of the legislature and Governor Snyder was in power. I feel like that issue really will get addressed now because Democrats are in power.
Hey, I'm eager to get some things done. And I think when the budget comes out, and as you know, we're right in the throes of all that, we're going to see, let's put our money where our mouth is. I don't know a lot of specifics at this moment. I know that we're finally going to get a new hospital built. And we know that under the Engler administration, unfortunately, mental health just took a huge backseat. I'm from Northville. That hospital in Northville was closed. Where are all those people supposed to go? Let's move forward together. I'm not one to hold a grudge. I just want to get some good things done. And I will work with whoever I can to make sure those things happen. And we're going to be doing some things about this in that aspect in the Judiciary Committee too. We're going to be looking at a few different bill packages. Mercifully, things are going to be a bit more boring in Judiciary after we handle the 1931 repeal and Elliot Larson and firearms. I think our committee members deserve a little bit of a break from these huge issues where we can focus on some other policy areas that are going to make a big difference.
Are you proud of the work the party's done to pass a lot of the bills that you just mentioned with Elliot Larson, with also getting that 1931 abortion ban off the books, increasing the earned income tax for families by getting rid of the retirement tax? Did you feel like the Democrats could get that all done basically within the first 100 days?
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I also want people to be assured that just because that's what's making the headlines, that doesn't mean that other work isn't getting done. That's the stuff that we were ready to do right out of the gate. But in the meantime, a lot of work has still been going on in the areas of education and mental health. I know that I'm working on treatment court packages. We're looking at juvenile justice reform. There's a lot of things that are also happening in the background that people just don't see and know about. But yeah, the things we're actually able to get across the finish line at a record pace, frankly, is amazing. And I'm proud of my party, and I'm proud of my colleagues. And people should know this also, even though none of the Republicans voted with us on the red flag laws, I had quite a few colleagues reach out to me, thanking me and understanding that how hard we worked with the right intentions, even though they couldn't necessarily come along with the vote, they made their support known in other ways. I can live with that. I'm happy about it, because the more that we can do together without this public animosity, the better for our state. This constant going at each other is just not healthy. It's not good governance. And so mercifully, again, a lot of these things come down the pipeline. These are going to be some good bipartisan packages that are going to help a lot of people.
You know, I read on your official page, you said that you believe in working with colleagues on both sides of the aisle to find the best path forward for our citizens, because there's nothing stronger than when Michiganders stand together.
Yep.
As somebody who used to work, progressive like me, used to work in conservative right-wing radio, I did it for many years. You know, I was able to make friends with people that I didn't agree with all the time. That's something that saddens me, is it seems like as a country, and also here in the state, as we've seen, that we are just becoming even more and more divisive. But I guess this is where I'm impressed by you, because you are able to just look past some of that animosity, some of the words that are said back and forth or shouted back and forth. There may be some who are listening to the Republican Party here in Michigan or across the country when it comes to abortion rights or who you can marry, who you can be, what you can read, and so on. I guess there are some wondering, how can you find common ground with a party that seems like it has moved or shifted a little further to the right, especially after the Donald Trump years?
So each party has their folks on the extremes. And we know that most people are somewhat in the middle. I don't like holding grudges. It takes up too much time and energy. I just want to get good stuff done. A good example of where we can work together, I think, is with the School Safety Task Force. And I know I have not been able to pay as much attention to that as I wanted to, but we are getting back on that horse. Representatives Meerman and Van Singel, who was termed out, we had a great working relationship. Luke Meerman and I continue to have a great working relationship because we're focused on the kids and trying to make sure that they have what they need to cope with life in general at school. And there's a lot of work that can be done in that space. And the meetings that we had together and the fact that Luke and I are definitely in opposite camps on so many of the big issues, not when it comes to our kids, though. Social emotional learning, just as an example, that is the key to mitigating violence in schools. And people have been conflating that with CRT or DEI, all these different acronyms that mean very different things.
Right.
But I have no problem whatsoever sitting down with a colleague of the opposite party and trying to find a common solution that makes sense to help our kids. And if we're not protecting our kids, honestly, I don't know what the hell we're doing here in Lansing. That should be our number one priority.
All right. I know a budget has been voted out of committee on the Senate side. I know that you're so busy, you probably haven't really had a chance to see it just yet. And it's just the beginning stages. But I think what I saw posted was that it would give schools $9,700 per student, $500 million for special education, pre-K for all, higher teacher salaries, and universal free lunch and breakfast. Now, there is a long way to go, but does that sound like a decent start? And is there anything that you'll be fighting for when it comes to the education budget?
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great start. I do want to see the School Safety and Mental Health Commission funded. You know, last year we did a lot of our own legwork, and I think it's our job to listen to the experts in those areas to make sure that we are doing what is necessary and right. We should not necessarily be leading the discussion. We should be listening to the experts in those fields, whether it's physical security or mental health security. I would like to see that funded if we can make that happen. It's a great start. I know the School Refinance Collaborative, they would probably want to see a higher per pupil, but at that extra investment into special needs is essential. If any of my friends at the federal level are listening, I would like to drop another hint that they should fully fund IDEA so that we don't have to use general fund dollars to take care of our special needs kids. But it's a good start. More of the school health centers would be fantastic. Those are really great. That way parents don't have to take a full day off of school if their kid is either broken a finger on the playground or they need to get a breathing treatment or if they just need a simple physical or a vaccination. Those are really great tools to have those health centers right there in the school. I'm going to trust our leads on that. Regina Weiss is our lead here in the House for the K-12, and she's a friend, and I trust her.
Just one more question, then. I'll be talking with a progressive activist in Livingston County next week. She tweeted something a week ago, and it really hit home with me because it's something I've always talked about, how we should always get just involved with our state and local politics as much as we do, you know, whatever's happening in Washington. And she said that nothing will change in Livingston County, you know, at least for Democrats or liberals, unless there's a bigger push to vote local. Now, before becoming a state representative, you got involved in local politics as well, because were you on a city council?
Yes, I was on Novi City Council.
And so you know all the inner workings of local municipalities and the politics there. What advice can you give to those living in a red county or a blue county or just whatever county, and what they can do to help get the message out and to help them fight for what they believe in?
Knock doors. City council, I campaigned on what was important to local people. And a lot of that had to do with seniors, you know, smart development and not overdevelopment. You really need to make sure that you are focusing on the needs and wants of your residents. And the best way to find that out is to knock doors. In rural areas, obviously, that can be kind of a challenge. And that means phone calls, sometimes postcard writing, that does some help. But it's really about listening to the pulse of the community, because what's important to somebody who is running for council might not be important to the community at large. You know, just thinking of Livingston County and how much of it is rural. Yeah, Nacogdoches can be a challenge, but it's also a growing area. You're probably going to have younger families moving in. They're going to care about education. So that's the best advice I can give. Listen to the people on the doors and then make sure that whatever it is that you're campaigning on, that it is congruent to what you're hearing and also what is in your heart.
Outstanding. All right. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time, Representative Breen. I hope that you'll consider coming back here on a later time and maybe we can talk about juvenile justice reform and some other things.
Yes. And guardianship, treatment courts, and all the good things that we're going to be able to do around justice.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a good one.
A podcast devoted to intelligence, sanity, and freedom, or otherwise known as progressive politics. It's Left of Lansing with your host, Pat Johnston. Need to tell Pat where he's wrong? Or do you actually want to praise Pat? Leftoflansing@gmail.com is how to reach him. Here's Pat.
Special thanks once again to Representative Kelly Breen for talking with me on this week's podcast. And I will say this, she's a more mature person than I am when it comes to having to work with today's Republican Party. But I get it. I do. I get it. There are many bills that are passed which are bipartisan. And there are times when both sides have to find some common ground to get things done. So I get that. But after 40 years of Republican rule, where roads and infrastructure crumbled, where schools suffered, where local municipalities suffered, where money was handed to the Republican donor base, just as the DeVos family wanted, where workers' rights, environmental rights, minority rights, voting rights, and women's rights were all under attack, Michigan voters chose to go a different way. In fact, they really kind of chose that a few years ago. They chose to go a more progressive route. That's why we legalized marijuana, which is providing tax dollars to so many towns and cities. That's why we opened up voting rights and made voting easier for people, especially younger people who got to experience that firsthand during the past midterms. That's why we passed redistricting, because we were tired of Republican gerrymandering behind closed doors. That's why we put the freedom of abortion care in the state constitution. Michiganders gave Democrats power, because Michigan is trending progressive, since progressive ideas are indeed popular. I believe that's something many in the establishment media are just having a tough time grappling with, is that we are in a progressive age, especially here in Michigan, because we've got great leadership and we've got so many talented activists out there that are making the change happen here in Michigan. We're not in the 80s anymore. We're not in the 90s anymore. And we are not in the 2000s anymore. No, we are in a new generation, especially with Generation Z. All things are completely different now. And that's what this week's Left of Lansing Last Call is all about. I was listening to Tim Skubick's Off the Record last week, and he and his guests talked about whether or not the Democrats are going too far by passing all these progressive policies. So you will hear Skubick, along with Michigan Radio's political director, Zoe Clark, who provides a little answer to Skubick's statement.
Well, and then comes the possibility of the criticism that the Democrats are going too far. Mm-hmm. Okay, we gave them power, and now they have drunken power, and people that are drunk with power do silly things. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really said that yet, but it's sort of underneath the conversation.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, I think there's still this sort of honeymoon period, at least in the national media.
Zoe Clark continued talking about how Democrats basically passed the big things they said they wanted to pass, including gun safety reform right after the MSU shooting. Then Ms. Clark concluded,
I don't think, you know, there's this national or even statewide look yet that, oh, it's gone too far, right? For Democrats, I'm talking about.
There's
Republicans,
time for that.
I was going to say, there's still time for that.
So you just heard Zoe Clark say that she's not really hearing anything bubbling on the surface, or under the surface, that Democrats are going too far. But you heard Skubick right there warn that it's out there. All right, look, I have to admit, I just think it's an old and tired trope in our Lansing media that once Democrats get into power, they always go too far. One, when it comes to the gun reforms that Democrats passed, all of those policies were extremely popular. When it comes to an increase in the earned income tax credit, it's extremely popular. Helping working families is extremely popular. Helping give some power to unions and collective bargaining power is popular. Abortion rights, contraception rights, women's rights are all popular. But there's something else out there that I believe will help state Democrats in 2024, and I feel like many in the press are missing it. Now, the Detroit Free Press's John Lindstrom isn't missing it. He wrote this week, and I quote, "With 2024 a presidential election year, presidential politics will dominate state issues. If former President Donald Trump is a GOP candidate, Republicans will have to be nervous. Not only will Trump's presence guarantee heavy Democratic turnout, even among Dems unhappy with President Joe Biden, it will guarantee many Republicans hold their noses and vote Democratic, just as they did nationally in 2020 and in Michigan in 2022. Bingo, bango. That's it right there. If Donald Trump is on the ballot and the train wreck that is the Michigan Republican Party continues down the path of Christianist authoritarianism, voters will keep the Democrats in power. They will reward Democrats with power. However, Democrats cannot just count on an inept Republican Party for help. They can help themselves by passing other important bills like distracted driving, punishing companies that don't fulfill promises after receiving loads of tax incentives, and I think this is a big one, passing transparency laws that require the executive and legislative branches to follow the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, Michigan is one of the least transparent states in the country. Republicans never wanted to touch that. Democrats are trying to do something there. If Democrats can pass some meaningful legislation to make the state become more transparent, then it's hard for me to see how they lose. Democrats must keep doing what they have done so far, which is pass the bills people want passed.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan, it's Pat Johnston.
Please let me know what you thought about this week's podcast and whatever else is on your mind by emailing me, leftoflansing@gmail.com. You can get this podcast and hear past episodes on leftoflansing.com. And please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And you can also subscribe on the blog as well. Thanks again to State Representative Kelly Breen for talking with me. And join me next week as Casey Helton joins me to talk about Livingston County and state politics. Hey, we made it past the cold part of the early week. It appears that springtime is arriving this weekend across the state. So enjoy the Rays, enjoy a Michigan craft beer along with those Tigers. Hey, things could be worse with those Tigers. And just think, we're less than three months away from the start of Detroit Lions training camp. When is the last time people here in Michigan were this excited for the Lions? Yeah, I know, I can't remember either. Remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan.
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston. Written by Pat Johnston. Researched by Pat Johnston. Edited by Pat Johnston. And hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.